Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, if you will. Romans chapter 10. We're looking at verses 12 through 21 this morning as we continue our verse-by-verse journey through the book of Romans, the most doctrinal book in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul is writing Christians who are at Rome. He has not yet been there as he writes this, but he does know that wherever he goes, Judaizers follow. Those who follow and try to say that trusting Christ is a wonderful start, but if you want to go on to perfection in the Christian life, you've got to start adopting all the rules and regulations that every Jew lived by. And the Apostle Paul writes to say, no, we are justified by faith and by faith alone. In chapters 9, 10, and 11, the Apostle Paul is going to be talking about the nation of Israel and what's their role in the gospel. Is God done with Israel? What is God going to do with Israel? And he starts off about he could wish himself a curse for his brethren's sake. He says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, he could literally go to hell to take their place, is how much he wants them to come to faith in Christ. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, he says, my prayer and heart's desire is that Israel might be saved. So that's his desire. And it certainly ought to be our desire to have people that we know and people we don't know come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, last week we looked in verses 1 through 11 and we saw that Israel, for the most part, had rejected the gospel and the Gentiles have received the gospel. Doesn't mean that all Gentiles are saved, but many more Gentiles have been receptive to the gospel than the Jewish people to whom it was sent. Well, in verses 12 through verse 21, we're finding out the gospel is for everyone. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. The gospel's for everyone. And so that's what we'll see this morning. We're going to start out as our custom is to stand and read the Word of God together. I'll read and you follow if you can stand. If not, then please remain seated if you're not able to. That's no problem. Follow along as I read, starting in verse 12, or you can follow it along on the screen as well. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of him that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we have to listen to your word. I pray that we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God who lives in every believer and seeks to use your word to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we love you. And that's why we've assembled together this morning. I appreciate the singing and the music and all of those things, Lord. but we came here because of you. Lord, not even the preaching. That's a great part of church, but it's really all about you. But Lord, I pray you'll take everything that's said and done in church today, and I pray that you'll use it to speak to every single heart, because that's the desire. Whenever you gather your children together, you want to speak to every one of your children. Heavenly Father, help us to listen with the ears of our soul and let our lives be changed because of what you do today in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. So in these verses, we're looking at the fact that the gospel is for everyone. We start in verse 12 and we see that there's no partiality with God between people. Notice he says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now, by Greek, he's not talking about those who speak the language of the Greek, because keep in mind, the Bible was, New Testament was written in the days of the Roman. Latin was their language, but they adopted much of what the Greeks gave, the culture. They loved the language. It was so much more precise than the Latin language was. But to a Jew, anyone that's not Jew is considered a Greek, or what they would call a barbarian. So it was any group of people other than a Jew was what he meant by Greek. But the Bible is saying there's no difference between those who were called God's chosen people, and we saw that in chapter 9, God's elect to bring the Messiah to the world, or to the Gentiles, those who are not in that passage or that group of people called Israel that heard the gospel through the Old Testament and had the laws and the ordinances given them by God. So the rest of us were not a part of that chosen people, but there's no difference, because the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon his name. And that's exactly what the Word of God tells us. So there's no partiality with God. And by the way, neither should there be with Christians. We should never be a prejudiced people. We should love all people of all languages and all races. You see, when it comes to God, we find that we're all his creatures. We're all sinful and alienated from him. We are all loved by him. And we are all saved the exact same way, only through the righteousness that's provided through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not save one man one way and another man the other way. God saves every person the exact same way. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Believe on the name of the Son of God, and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So it's always faith. It's always believing in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, the Apostle Peter is preaching in the household of the very first Gentile that's going to hear the gospel. And Cornelius has filled his house with friends and family to hear the words that the angel said he needs to hear. And so Peter comes from Joppa and he comes to preach. And he says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Peter had to learn that, and you know the vision that he had in Joppa of the blanket that came down with all the creatures, and God said, take, eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I've not had anything unclean. And God said three different times, what I have called clean, don't you call unclean. And what God is saying is the gospel is for everyone. And that's so true for us to realize today that everyone needs the gospel. The Bible says he's rich unto all that call upon him. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord passed by before him," that's Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" And that's the God that will send his Son for the sins of the whole world, dying for all people. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." The Bible says he's rich to all who call upon him. Do you remember the riches you received the very moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I was a 9-year-old boy. I, at that time, had never owned a new bike. By the way, that's no big deal, because in my age, hardly anybody had a new bike. You had a bike you put together, you had to paint yourself, you had to put on new tires, and you had new... How many remember those days? You didn't get a new bike that came out $500 for a bike. It's like, that's what cars sold for. My first car was half that price. And so it's just amazing. You know, God has gifts for us, and he's rich for us, and he's merciful for us. And I remember when I got saved as a 9-year-old boy, I had very little. But all of a sudden, having trusted Christ as my Savior, I had my name written down in heaven. I had a mansion reserved for me. My allowance was 10 cents a week, but I had a mansion in heaven. I could walk on streets of gold in heaven. I wish I could have got a chunk of it when I was 9. But, you know, I was a very poor, lower middle income family. But I was so happy because I had Jesus. And when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you became wealthy in God's eyes, because his riches became yours, and everything that he has freely given to his children. The Bible says, if God gave his own Son, will he not also freely give us all things? And we are truly blessed as God's children. And the Bible says in verse 13, this is a gospel for whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that word, whosoever. I love that word, shall. It means not, I hope I get saved, I think I'm going to heaven. It means you're going if you've asked and called on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was a verse that was used in Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And Joel said, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or whosoever shall call upon the Lord, shall be delivered." And that word delivered means to be saved. To be saved means to be delivered from the wrath to come. And so when you trust Christ as your Savior, you are delivered forever from the wrath to come, and we are delivered to the promises that God has made to all of his children. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, Peter is continuing to preach to Cornelius and everybody in the house. And he says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now, Peter is preaching to Cornelius and everyone in the house, but as soon as he says that, "and whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin," as soon as he said that, the Spirit of God came and indwelt Cornelius and everyone in the house. Why? Because the angel told Cornelius that Peter, Simon Peter, had words you need to hear. And the words that he needed to hear was, "Whosoever believeth in him," Jesus, "shall have remission of sin." He didn't even wait till the invitation. He just said, "I believe." And as soon as they said that in their hearts, not even with their words, in their hearts, the Holy Spirit of God indwelt them. They got saved just that quick. You will get saved just that quick when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before you can put it into words, if it's in your heart, you get saved. While the words are in your mouth and you're telling the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe, because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And so God died for whosoever, anybody. Someone said that means any person, any nationality, any race, any color. Many years ago I heard the fact that since God made man of the dust of the earth, that men on planet earth, men and women on planet earth, have all the colors of the earth, all the colors of the soil. Just think about all the different colors of soil that you've seen, and then realize that there's people of all those different colors on planet earth. You see, God is the author of diversity. He didn't make two leaves alike. He didn't make two grains of sand alike, two grains of salt alike, two snowflakes alike. And out of almost 8 billion people, no two people alike. God loves diversity, and yet God is also the author of unity. He can take people of different backgrounds, of different education or lack of education, different wealth or lack of wealth, different circumstances, put them all in one building, call it a church, and we get along just fine. We get along just fine. What do we have in common? We have in common one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And because we have Jesus Christ in our lives, and we've trusted Him, there is a unity that we have with each other when we weren't even raised the same way. We weren't taught the same values or anything else. Now, I've been able to preach in Africa and Asia and South America and many other different countries. And most of the time, I don't even understand their language, but I do know this. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we get along real fine. And we don't even understand each other, but we get along real fine because God is the author of diversity and yet unity. We are all different, but He loves us all the same. This means any person from any environment, condition, background, country, government, or family. About three years ago, I was in China, and I'm sitting across the table eating with some people, and I was talking to an older man, and I was asking him when he trusted Christ, and he told me when he trusted Christ as his Savior. He was a grandfather now, and his children were saved, his grandchildren were saved. I said, "Well, what'd you do?" He said, "I was in the government." I said, "In the government?" He said, "Yes, I was a leader in the Communist Party." And I thought, "Oh, wow!" You know, he said, "But I found Jesus as my Savior." It doesn't matter where you are. Jesus Christ will save you if you will turn to faith in Him. He will save everyone. This means any person, whether immoral or moral, unjust or just, bad or good, poor or wealthy, mean or nice, lonely or befriended, unpopular or popular, deformed or attractive, diseased or healthy, needful or without need. God can save anybody, and He will save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Jesus saves anyone. Whosoever will can come to Christ. What a blessing. Many years ago, one of our members, Joe Fowler, he's been in heaven now for several years. Joe was a wonderful, wonderful man. He came to us in his probably late 60s. Maybe he was around 70. I don't know. Now that I get that age, I can't even figure out what age people are. But which, by the way, I'm not 70. I am only 66. And on the young side of it, okay? And I was talking to Joe, and he was coming to church for months, and we witnessed to him several times, but Joe would say, "Pastor, I can't get saved. I've been too wicked." And I said, "Joe, how could you be so wicked you can't get saved?" And Joe said to me, "Pastor, He said, I've been in prison for 38 years. I guess he wasn't just jaywalking to get that sentence, you know. He was in prison for a lot of years. And I said, well, I said, Joe, God still loves you. He still died for you, and he still wants you to go to heaven. And you can if you'll trust him as your Savior. One Easter, we were preaching, and at the conclusion, Joe Fowler stepped out and walked down. And I met him down front. I said, Joe, you've come to get trust Christ as your Savior. He said, Pastor, I can't explain it, but God got a hold of me. And he got saved and he got baptized. He was a wonderful man. I shared that in the 8:30 service. I said, I don't even know what he did to get 38 years. And one of my members came and told me, said, I had asked Joe. I said, Joe, what'd you do to get 38 years? And he said, well, he said, I was accused of killing two people. He said, but I really only killed one of them. I'd suggest you not kill any of them, okay? Just try not to do that. But God will save everyone that calls on the name of the Lord. Many years ago, I had a dear friend of mine that I was so close to in Bible college, and I graduated and went off and started pastoring at 21. He went off to seminary for another 2 or 3 years to get a degree and get his doctor's degree in theology. And years later, I was out here pastoring, and he was pastoring in Tennessee. And I went and visit my mother and visit my good friend. We played golf together. And he was saying, now, Mike, he said, you know, it's strange how some people say you get saved just by calling on Jesus. I said, that's all you do. He said, well, no, I don't. I understand. I said, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the only way you get saved. And I called his name. And then he said, well, I know, but he says, now, salvation is more than just believing in Jesus. I said, no, salvation is exactly just that, believing in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, well, you know what I mean. I said, no, I don't know what you mean. What you're saying is heretical. Now, you might not believe what you're saying, but what you're saying is dead wrong. Now, if you want to say, what does it mean to call upon Jesus? It's more than just saying, Jesus. It is believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he's your only hope. And when you call on him, you're asking him to rescue your soul from hell forever. And when you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. If a lifeguard is sitting in a chair at a pool and you're drowning and you stand up and you say, oh, he's not saying there, you didn't say it proper. I'm Mr. Lifeguard to you. Mr. Lifeguard. You didn't ask me to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, we are drowning in our sins. We are destined for hell. But when we hear the good news of the gospel and we say, Jesus, I need you, he will save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. I'm telling you, Jesus will save us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. In verses 14 and 15, we see that God needs a preacher of the gospel, and God sends his people to preach the gospel. So he needs a preacher, so he makes every one of us a preacher. I don't mean pastor, I don't mean pulpiteer, I don't mean you stand before people. But in the biblical sense, that word preacher is anyone who proclaims the truth of the gospel. And the Bible is very clear about the fact that every single Christian ought to be a proclaimer of the gospel. Years ago, I heard a well-known pastor say this, if you're saved, someone told you about Jesus. And so the decent thing to do is to tell someone else about Jesus. You know that this old world is only one generation away from not hearing about the gospel. If we don't share it, no one else will. Believers are the only tools that God has to get the gospel to the end of the world. Last year, we had one of our deacons answer a call to preach, and Kenny Menendez and his wife Lydia and their children went up to Anchorage, Alaska, and started a church in the summertime in the middle of COVID. And God blessed, and today they're running about 70, and they're doing well, and God's blessing. They have people saved every single week, and about every other Sunday, they're seeing people baptized. It is amazing what God's doing. In fact, next Sunday, I'm going to be in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm going to be preaching for Brother Kenny. And then earlier this year, one of our laymen, Mark Johnson, answered a call to preach, and there was a church that asked to be a part of Grandview. They were about to die and shut the doors and got a building and everything. They said, "Can you help us?" And we sent Mark Johnson, him and his wife Tiffany and their family are pastoring there. They have had more visitors than the whole church ran together since then. They have had more people saved than people who attend their church right now. God is blessing. Now, it may be that some of you young men, God is putting His hand upon your life, but let me remind you, Mark Johnson was not a young man, nor was Kenny Menendez a young man. My own father was 52 years of age when he answered the call to preach. I preached his ordination, and my brother read the charge and presented a Bible because we were both pastoring when God called my 52-year-old father into the ministry. Don't think that God has given up and God might not just tap you on the shoulder and say, "I need you to preach the gospel." But He needs all of us to share the gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 through 15, the verses we looked at, in those verses there's five words that in the Greek use the aorist tense, which means sudden. It means one time. And that's the word call and believe and hear and preach and sent. God does it one time and it has an effect on your life the rest of your life. You remember when you heard the call of God on your life to be saved? You remember what it was when you heard for the first time and you understood, "I need Jesus"? And do you remember when you ask Him to save you? I remember as a 9-year-old boy getting off my knees that morning, having prayed with my pastor and knowing that heaven was my eternal home. I laid my head on my pillow that night and said, "Lord, if I die in my sleep, I'm okay. I know where I'm going. I've never had to fear death since then, and no Christian ever has to, because heaven is the home that God's prepared for us after we've trusted Christ as our Savior." It's an amazing thing. You know, in John 15, verse 16, the Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." God sent all of us to go and bring forth fruit. That's our job. That's our mission. The Bible says He has sent us with the message of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So, in the person of Christ, we are standing before lost people saying, "Be ye reconciled unto God," by sharing the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It changes everything. In verses 16 and 17, we hear the gospel must be preached and believed. Preached and believed. The Bible tells us in John 1, 11 and 12, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Israel heard the gospel, but they didn't respond. They heard with their ears, but they didn't believe with their heart. You know, you're fortunate to come to a Bible-believing church, because in any Bible-believing church, they're going to tell you very clearly how you can go to heaven, and it's all by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, there's some people who go to church, and they go to church, and they go to church, but they never hear the gospel clearly. It's like they get pieces of a puzzle that never fits together, and they never understand it. We need to realize that when you understand the gospel, you need to respond to the gospel. It's a sad thing that even in Bible-believing churches, there's sometimes young people who grow up hearing the gospel, but never respond to the gospel. You're not saved by the hearing. You're saved because you respond to the hearing in faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, the Bible tells us over and over that faith is what saves us. Believing is what saves us. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, present possession hath. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, abideth his present possession. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the wrath of God abides on you. It doesn't wait till you die. It's already on you. You just have to die to get it. And we hath eternal life as soon as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We just have to die to enjoy the experience of forever being in heaven. But it's already ours. It's a present possession. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 20:31 says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Faith in Jesus Christ, whosoever, any race, any group of people, any language across the world, if you trust Christ as your Savior, you are born again, you are saved forever, you have everlasting life, present possession. Now in verses 18 through 21, we have Israel in the gospel. And we find that Israel heard the word of the gospel and heard the word of God. In verse 18, he says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Now that's a quotation that comes from Psalms 19, verse 4. And what it is saying is that the heavens and the nature and the heavens and the firmament and the sun and the moon and the stars, they proclaim everywhere the being of God, his perfection, especially his wisdom, power, and goodness. The very creation of God speaks of his majesty and speaks of his reality. Romans chapter 1 tells us that he speaks to us through creation. And the Bible is telling us that Gentiles were destitute of divine revelation. We didn't have the law and we didn't have the word, but they had creation. And creation told us about God, about a creator, and told us that he loved us because he made it so beautiful. When you see a beautiful sunrise, it's showing you God loves you. When you see a beautiful sunset, it's again God just saying how much he loves you. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, and we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. So Romans is going to tell us that the law was only for the purpose of making us guilty so that we would see that Jesus is the only way to get rid of that guilt and the transgressions that we all have earned by our own actions. The righteousness of Jesus Christ being applied to our heavenly account. The Bible goes on and shares other verses with us. I'll not take time to read. But simply put, it is saying that the Jews had a written law that they didn't believe, and the Gentiles had the law of creation that they choose to ignore. So how does man come to faith in Christ then if he's ignoring these things? It comes because of the power of the gospel. When Christians share the gospel, there's power not in the presentation, nor in the presenter of the gospel, but the power is inherent in the gospel itself. I said this morning in the 8:30 service, I've heard Christians explain to a non-Christian the plan of salvation, and I, being a Christian, couldn't even understand what they were saying. But somehow, they understood it, and they gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to one of our members yesterday at the men's prayer breakfast, and he's here this morning with his wife, and he was sharing with me an accident he got in and how he still has the limp and different things related to that and how God used it to get his attention to get him close to the Lord. And that's always a good thing. Even trials God uses. And I was telling him about years ago, I was in Milwaukee and I was going soul winning on a Thursday night, knocking on doors. And I knocked on this one apartment. A man came to the door, and he had to be at least 6'6". I mean, he was big. And he had a leather jacket on, and it had some emblems from a motorcycle. You could tell he was a motorcycle rider. And he was pretty big, and my first impression was, this guy is not going to be interested in the gospel, you know. But I just talked to him a little bit, and I said, well, let me share with you. The reason I came by is I had a question for you, and I wanted to know, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And he just stared at me a moment. And then he said, you know, just last week I came home from the hospital. I was in a terrible motorcycle wreck. I was in a coma for 6 months. And then another 6 months I was healing in the hospital. I just came home last week. And when I came to in the hospital, the one thing I could not stop from thinking about is, had I died, where would I go? Had I died, where would I go? He had tears streaming down his cheeks. He gladly received Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was so happy to know that heaven was his eternal home. You never know who you're going to talk to, but I do know this, you never take the gospel to the wrong address, because we all need it. We all need it. So just share the gospel and let God do his work through his message. In this passage of Scriptures 18 through 21, God is saying he not only told Israel the truth, he provoked them by letting the Gentiles believe in God's truth. But he ends with this. He says, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, you're probably like me and didn't know what gainsaying meant, but it means someone who talks back. You ever raise your kids and they talk back? My oldest got more spankings because he talked back than his own disobedience. He got in trouble. I'd say, now don't say another word. Well, I won't say another word. Don't. Hush. Don't say another word. Well, if you don't want me to, I won't. We went round and round on those. But gainsaying people, God says one thing and we say another. Let me say, if God's speaking to your heart and He's stretching forth His hands and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, would you just come to the Savior? Would you just say, Lord, I think you're talking about me and I want to be a Christian. I want my sins forgiven. It doesn't matter what's gone in your past. It doesn't matter what you've done. He stretches forth His hands to you and He will save you like that. If you'll just ask Him. If you'll just ask Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a believer. You place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't been scripturally baptized. That's something God wants every Christian to do by immersion after salvation. Or maybe you haven't placed your membership or you have not joined a Bible-believing church. Or maybe you're a part of a church that's somewhere else. But God is speaking to your life about placing your membership in this church. Now, there's many good churches. We're just one of them. And the truth is, only the Holy Spirit knows where you ought to be. But if you'll ask Him, He'll show you. I do know this, though. Every Christian belongs in a good Bible-believing church. Every Christian does. And you need to find it. And not just get your name on the roll, you need to plug into it. Let God use your life to be a blessing and to help reach the world through the agency of that church. Will you respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you look to Him today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let God speak to your heart. What is it that Christ wants to do in your life? I wonder if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Would you just ask Him? Would you just pray something simple like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I ask You to save me. I believe in You, Jesus. I know You died for me. And I ask You to take me to heaven. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all around this auditorium. I wonder if there's anybody this morning who said, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. But I wonder if you'd raise up your hand and lower it and say, yes, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. God bless you. Is there anyone else that'd say, yes, Pastor, I prayed that prayer? What a blessing. Such a joy to know someone became a child of God. Now, for the rest of us believers, God wants us to be the agents who share the truth of the gospel. How many of you would say, Pastor, I want God to use me to share the gospel? Would you raise your hand? Oh, God bless you, Christians all throughout. God bless you. You may lower it. We need His help. We're naturally shy, but the Holy Spirit is naturally bold. Heavenly Father, I pray You'll bless in this invitation. I pray that we'll respond as You prompt us to, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let God speak to your heart. What is the need of your life? Maybe you need to make a spiritual decision. Place your membership here. Make some other decision for Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians are praying. The piano's playing. If you want to step forward and talk to any of our assistant pastors, they'll be glad to pray with you. They'll be glad to help you. What is it that Christ wants to do in your life? You make that decision for Him. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to watch the next video and then we're going to be through. And let's watch this together.
Join us next week as we celebrate Father's Day. Every father will receive a dessert on us after the morning service.
Families, don't miss out on our Kids Summer Blast program every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We have big activities planned every week, like bounce houses and big ball games, as well as plenty of opportunities to help your children grow in their relationship with God.
Make plans to join us for God and Country Day on Sunday, July 4th. We will have patriotic services with special music at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. There will be a barbecue after the 11 o'clock service, followed by a patriotic celebration. Please help us in bringing plenty of side dishes and desserts.
Mark your calendars for our Grandview Acres Vacation Bible School. It will be Monday through Wednesday, July 12th through the 14th, from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. If you'd like to be a part of this children's outreach, or if you'd like to register your child, stop by the welcome desk following the service.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, you might have questions, and we would be happy to answer those questions. As you exit the auditorium, look for guest services. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
God bless you. Thank you so much for coming today. You're dismissed.